we take us into a meditation?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Oh my goodness. So, as I like to say, put your hard hats on, we're going in. I don't know if you knew, this is what I think about meditation. Go in with an expectation, and the expectation is expect God's best. That's the intention. Today I experience God's best. My affirmation we showed earlier is, I wonder what wonderful, wonderful surprises God has in store for us today. So let that be, all we expect is God's wonderful surprises. So take a breath. Send yourself in. As always, I like to begin a meditation with this affirmation, which says, the Christ in me is awake now. What is the Christ but my memory of God, my memory of good, my memory of love and harmony and health and prosperity, my memory, for I know within my Christ awakening, Christ does not represent a person but a consciousness. So the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. Keep breathing. Christ awakened in me. Life awakened in me. Love awakened in me. Peace, harmony, and joy awakened in me. All that is natural within our source is awake in us now and available to us. How exciting. We won't base our thinking on circumstances, but we shall base it on what has to be true. The Christ in me is awake now, and I can't wait to see what that entails. Let's take that thought into the silence. The Christ in me is awake now, and I can't wait to see, to hear, to feel what that entails. Let's go on in. The Christ in me is awake now. I can't wait to see all that that entails. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to the sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you. And amen.
Amen.
So our soloist today is a good friend of David's and mine. She and her husband came into Unity of Norwalk several years ago. And we met right away and we clicked, and they started coming to retreats and things. And Linda, well, she has a background in show business, and then took 30 years off to raise a family, her daughter and her husband. And then at our retreat, she started singing again. And through that, she made her cabaret debut. Last year, David produced her first CD, and this song she's about to sing, I suggested it for her solo cabaret show, and I'm so glad I did because it fits perfectly with my talk today. Won't you please welcome Linda Kahn. Heaven is not a coming attraction. Yeah, heaven is right here and right now. And the lyrics of that song, don't fence me in. Don't bind me to my old beliefs. That's, Britt and I both were ordained by so many here. Our first seminary was the new seminary. Mine was the new seminary, his
One Spirit.
One Spirit, both run by Diane Burke. And the motto was always in addition to, never instead of. And because I'm not a recovering anything in regards to religion. And so I like that I didn't have to criticize any church I'd ever been to, nor any person, because it all brought me here. It guided me on these places. And so I'm not bound, and I meet some people who are, they're really bound to their childhood religion, and they miss out on new information for freedom. Yeah, it's funny, this whole political thing lately. I don't want to be bound by any old beliefs I have or have had. Because I need to be free to love God. I need to be free to expect the best. I need to be free to know that everything could change on a dime for the good. Because let me tell you something, if I'm expecting the worst, I'm sure to get it. Am I sure to get it if I expect the best? Those of you in 12-step recovery, the third step says we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood God. Well, my understanding of God keeps changing. It is my thought that God itself is truth. My understanding of it is not. Because it keeps changing. Truth is that which does not change. And our understanding, in the face of anything, keeps changing and shifting. If the world's not playing out the way I want it to, does it mean I am not loved? You gotta start looking at that in life. If we don't look around, this is happening. But it is, does that mean I am not loved? If I'm not happy with what's happening. I don't want to play that game anymore, and I haven't for many years. I want to go through, not just wake up every day, I want to go and wake up every minute. Wait a minute, I am loved with an everlasting love, and I cannot not be loved. And the Bible tells us, and I like this part of the Bible, you know, I pick and choose what I like. I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I know what I like. And at the beginning it says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here, it's right now. That seems like wise advice for understanding, doesn't it? I'm going to read this to you and for myself. Right here, begin my favorite book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And it's right here in Matthew. And it starts at chapter 3. Oh, wait a minute. We'll start at chapter 2. We'll be crazy. The truth is shown through guidance. The entire route you are to follow is not revealed from beginning to end all at once. But it is revealed to you step by step. Trust your Lord, the God within, which guides you, which guides you now. Do not question. Now that's a toughie. Where is this taking me? Do not question. Where is this taking me? Have faith it is for the good of all and the purpose of oneness, and it will certainly bring you great joy. Remember that? I don't know if you, how many of you remember the passage I read from here earlier. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It comes from Luke. And it says we all are only going to have two experiences. Two. And one is joy. And one is resistance. That's everything on our path. Joy or resistance. So we get to choose. Chapter 3 says this is not a story of form. It is a story of mind. It is the observer. The one who told you sorting of thought is necessary for, or no. It is the one that called upon you to pay attention and choose a different way of thought. He pointed in the direction that would perform the sorting for you. to the one that will cherish and honor your thoughts of love while undoing permanently your thoughts that never were. He called this one the Son of God, and this one is in your mind, waiting for you to accept it now. So you said, it's talking about Jesus there. And the Son of God, or the Christ, is not about a person. Jesus in our Bible represents the Son of God, the awakened one. And he was given the title Christ later on, which means the anointed one. But in my Unity studies, what I came to understand is, wait a minute, I'm the Son of God. My neighbor is the Son of God, male or female. Our anointing comes in our acceptance of what is right, what is true, what we want, and what we don't want. The anointing will fall away if I choose my anger as the most important thing. If I choose resentment as a priority today, if I choose lack as a priority today, and you think, who would choose lack as a priority today? How many, oh no, don't raise your hands. But how many chose lack as a priority this week in your thoughts and your conversations, as if there is somehow an absence of God? We have to be, think about it. And the week before that, and the week before that, the week before that. How many of us were choosing lack? You know, with Unity of New York's finances, we're doing our best to maintain thoughts of abundance and prosperity rather than lack. With our personal finances, we're doing our best, aren't we? Could be thinking in terms of abundance and prosperity rather than lack. With the street we walk down, I am seeking whatever I can remember, and I remember more frequently than I used to seek abundance and prosperity and love and health and well-being rather than lack. I don't want to tell myself I live in a world of the absence of good. I don't want to fence myself in with limited beliefs. Give me land in my mind. Give me space in my mind to see divine potential. To see what it is. And the point of that is, though it was my title, is let me see it now. And who am I saying let me see it now to except myself? I'm not asking God to let me see it. I'm asking me. Linda, they were singing to herself. Don't fence me in. At least as far as I'm concerned, that's what she was doing. If I were singing it, that's what I'd be singing it to. Sean, don't fence me in. Give me great big spaces in my mind to see differently, to perceive differently. And I think, one of my favorite things is, Spirit, tell me what to think. And Spirit, though, is just the highest in me. Not something separate from me, it's not something apart from me, but it's the part, it's the not so human part of me that can still see the human part of me. I have flesh, anybody? And if you do this to me, it hurts. And if I do this to me, that's the note. If I do this to, ow, I can stop at any time. Why aren't I stopping? Why don't I stop when it starts to hurt? No, I can still handle this thought. Oh, I can still handle this. I can still handle this. And I'll get right to you, God. Ow. The old definition of resentment. Somebody comes up and does this. You go, ow. They walk away. You do this and this. Resending the message. Well, they did this to me, and they said this to me, and they looked this way at me. And I'm wondering why I'm black and blue. Well, how dare they have done that to me? Then, if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't have to keep doing this. Anybody? Yeah, we're nuts. And we are. We're just. We hear these kind of messages week after week after week after month, year after year after year. We read the books. We pray. Some of us even meditate. I know not everybody does. Because I've met too many people, I don't know how to meditate. No, I can't get quiet. I think when I meditate. Well, of course you think when you meditate. You're a thinking person. It's just that millisecond that the voice of God gets in during all the noise. Keep taking the time to get quiet. Even while you're thinking, you know, what are we looking at for dinner tonight? Can't believe she did that in third grade. It's the art of bringing yourself back to the quiet. Bringing yourself back over and over and over again. Who's waiting until they die to get to heaven? Anybody looking forward to dying? No, I can't wait. And I hope he lets me in. All we talk about is universal God, the love of God, the I am and everything. And then when it comes down to the fear of leaving the body, I hope he'll forgive me for all I did. I hope he'll forgive. Stop it. Stop it now. Interrupt. Interrupt those thoughts. Heaven is a here and now condition.
Yes.
Just as is hell. And for those of us who have been to hell, we know. We've been there, it hurt, and I hated the t-shirt. And yet, some days I'll just run right back there. It's like I would buy an e-ticket to hell. All I need is one good resentment. All I need is not enough money that day for what I want. All I need is confusion amongst the folks around me. Sometimes I hear spiritual people say that they don't like negative people. I don't like to be around negative people. I have a therapist friend from my church. Not this one, the other one. And she said, I don't like unhappy people. I don't have happy clients. You're a therapist. And it's like, fine. People sometimes need to be heard and they need to be seen before they are corrected. Before they are doused with our spirituality. Which so often when I meet somebody, stop being so negative. What I'm saying is, you're scaring me and I might end up agreeing with you. At least that's my experience. I'm afraid I'm going to get on the bandwagon of fear. I'm afraid if I listen to this for too long, I'm going to join in. Because I've done that in the past. And now, I've had to learn in the past several years. People need a chance to have their fear seen. Not enabled. They need to have a chance, a moment, to have the fear seen and not criticized. And then you can just change the conversation. Change the topic rather than saying, don't be like that. Don't say those things. Oh, don't you know? Cancel, cancel, cancel. It's first, acknowledge silently for yourself. Oh, I don't like it when I hear this stuff. Where do I do it? Because you see, when I do it, it's justified. When I do it, it makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm going to get on that bandwagon, you should hear me and be afraid. Have you ever caught yourself trying to convince God of what's wrong in the world? Yeah, of course you have. Everybody in this room has, I guarantee it, at some point or another. Oh God, please fix this because it's terrible. Oh God, please give me more money because I don't have enough. Oh God, please make this person love me. Oh God, please. And that we're telling is, God, this is wrong, and I want you to make it different. How often do you say, oh, self, make this different? Oh, self, how would I love God more? Oh, self, how would I embrace Spirit into my consciousness? Oh, Spirit, I am open and receptive to knowing more about you. Give me a second and I'll give it to myself. How many of you would give yourself what you're asking God to give you? And it, yeah, I know, and it's a, I didn't grow up here. I heard, well, you have to ask God for things. If you want a new car, if you want candy, you want whatever, ask God. Growing up, I was five, I wanted either a car or candy. But to ask God is to ask yourself. A lot of our more sophisticated teachers, Joel Goldsmith and what have you, they have said, he said, if you're asking God, you're really affirming the absence of the very thing you want. So, how do we affirm the presence of what we want? Many years, when I first started at the church in Connecticut, we were having money troubles, and we were having troubles when I left. But at the beginning, Monday, I had an assistant for the first 9 months. She came with the job, she was there before me. And she didn't care much for me, and it's hard to be a minister when your administrative assistant doesn't care for you. So finally, I talked to my board, and we gave her an opportunity to be released to her joy. We brought Kenneth in. Those of you who know Kenneth Gartman. Kenneth Gartman was a very multi-talented young man, and he was going to be the administrator, because he was David's personal assistant when I met him. I didn't know him musically much at that point. But we brought him in, and she kind of trained him for that one day, and then she left. And he wanted to rearrange the office. And when I had to laugh at it, I pulled out this file cabinet, and under it was a velvet offering bag. And that's where we kept our offering bags, if you open the bottom drawer of this cabinet. And I thought, oh, there's money in here. And I threw it in the, I threw it back in for Sunday. Well, the next week, someone called me and said, Sean, why did you cash my check today, this week from 2 years ago? There had been a bag of money in the cabinet, underneath the cabinet, for 2 years. And the board didn't, they thought the previous minister had stolen that, just the bag. I said, we had money here and didn't know it. That's my point of this story. I just add details for fun. And we had money and we didn't know it. Where you're looking for your good, is it possible you have it and you just don't know it? Is that a possibility today? Anybody wants to drop weight, I guarantee you, you have thinness here. You just don't know it today. I know I am thinner underneath this weight. I'm sure of it. I don't think I have more hair under this, but I don't care. There's no shame. Let me make my point. You know, we all have a desire for things to be different along the lines. Thin people want to be heavy. Heavy people want to be thin. Curly hair people want to have straight hair. You get the point. But it's, we have good. We have good. Our church, we had the hardest time finding a place to meet when we had this here all this time.
Yes.
It just, we had to adapt our thinking to the, oh, could we meet at 2 in the afternoon? Could we meet here when there was no elevator? Could we do this? Could we do that? Could we be different than we were? Could unity look different than it has always looked to me? Well, when we tore down the fences of our imagination, everybody said yes. I called a lot of people, 200 people, to say, we're opening. on Sunday, whatever the date was, and we're going to be on the second floor at St. Michael's, 225 West 99th Street, between Broadway and Atrium. Some of you, I'm sure, got my call, because I took the whole list that I had, and I called, said, we're changing, and I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
And I still think it's a good thing, because we weren't going to make it. And, you know, we're still have our struggles, but every day I affirm abundance from Unity of New York. How many of you are doing the noontime prayer? I love you. I just love you for that. Thank you. The rest of you, if you don't know, please read the newsletter. It's in there. If you're not getting the newsletter, please let the office know so that you can get the newsletter, both Tuesdays and Fridays newsletters, so that you can know what to do. See, here now, here today, we have lots of good. Lots and lots of good. Lots of land, as it were, to stroll upon. This comes from 1 Timothy 5, chapter 5, where to go? Oh gosh. Oh, here it is. Verse 17, 20. Your reward is secure in heaven, and heaven is within your mind now. Heaven is not earned. Heaven is with you, and the awareness of heaven is chosen. But you shall not know heaven if you choose to separate yourself from it. For heaven is looking at you now as the expression of your own freedom. I grew up with what we can call traditional heaven. It is a place with pearly gates, streets made of gold, and you have to die to get there. And before you die, you have to be good. You have to be well behaved. How many were sure they were getting into heaven? You know that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless you. That means Uncle John. That was the emperor I had to bless everybody I could think of. It scared me.
Yes.
It, lights out. Good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite or the boogeyman or any of those other horrifying things for children to worry about. I was afraid of Santa Claus because he was watching me all the time. I was afraid of God because he was watching me all the time. I was afraid of the police because they were waiting to catch me doing something. But my mother was a lovely person. I hadn't heard that heaven is right here right now. And that the best is happening right now. Just wait and see what it is as a result of my thinking. So I hadn't heard that as a child. But I heard it today. I just said it. And you hear it today. And so, imagine, oh heaven, I'm not waiting for heaven. I'm embracing heaven. I'm planning for what heaven looks like at this moment. I'm planning for what it's going to look like at the next moment. And I'm planning for a continuation of heaven and heaven and heaven and heaven. And it's good. I must expect the best. Today my affirmation is, I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for me today. Let's say this together. Let's start with, I wonder,
I wonder
what wonderful surprises,
what wonderful surprises
God has in store for me today.
God has in store for me today.
Jesus. Amen. Welcome back to the con.
I almost totally have faith in you. I wonder if my hands are skipping around.